Hello and welcome to another Daily Music Break podcast. The Daily Music Break is at www.dailymusicbreak.com. Stop by for some great music across all eras and genres and for free email newsletters. Today we are very, very pleased to be speaking to Nino Arobelizai. She's an artist now living in Chicago. And we look forward to speaking to her about her music and what she's up to. Good morning, Nino.
How are you? Good morning. Good morning.
It's great to talk to you. Thank you very much for taking time out.
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. To start with, Nino, if you can please tell folks where to learn more about you and where to hear some of your music. Some of it will be accompanying the podcast when I post it, but if they want to get deeper into it, where should they go?
Perfect. Well, you can Google my name. I think the easiest thing to do, if you Google my name, there'll be a slew of things that will come up, including my YouTube channel, my CD Baby links. If to purchase the album online, you can also, through CD Baby, you can purchase a CD that could ship to your house. And just typing in my name at the CD Baby could also work, cdbaby.com/cd/Nino Arobelizai, or searching my album. The latest album is called Nomad, but there's also two other albums that are online for sale. One is called Urbanisms. That's a collaboration album with a group called Forbidden Knowledge, which is very proud of, and my EP called Strange Brew.
Great.
So all of that is online and up and running for the global citizens of the world.
Okay. And spell your last name for us. Not everyone, I guess, will be seeing, you know, getting this podcast at the website where it will be written. But if you could spell your last name, that would be great.
My last name is Arobelidze. And my first name is Nino, Nino. So Nino Arobelidze.
Okay, great. I love the way you pronounce that.
Thank you very much.
Tell us a little bit about your background to start with, please.
Well, I am currently in Chicago, Illinois, working here. I'm based here. My label is here. It's a small independent label that I was signed to 2 years ago called Nifu Nifa Records, which is a very cool combination of DIY with, you know, a structure. So it's a new way of seeing how music business runs, but doing it from ground up in a very organic and empowered way, an informed way. And I moved to the Chicagoland area as a teenager with my family and the suburbs. And I moved from Tbilisi, Georgia, which is in Eastern Europe, former Soviet Union. And I've been here ever since. It's great. I don't plan on moving.
Great. Well, winter. If you're saying you're not planning on moving when winter is coming to that area, it means you are staying, because that's probably when it's most tempting to leave.
It's definitely tempting to leave, but there's something about having a home base in the middle of the States in Midwest that allows you to travel. So I'm plotting that for the next 2 years, I'll find a way to be away while the winter's here, touring and working. But I have a family now. I have a 1-year-old, and my husband and I are, you know, trying to figure out ways that we could do these things while he's not in school so we can figure the next step forward, you know, in our careers and in our lives together.
Sounds great. In the bios, Nino, it refers to you as having a mix of smooth jazz, R&B, dance music. I think there's probably a couple of others that didn't even write down here. How do you integrate it? Do you consciously integrate it all into your music, or is it just how it comes out at the end based on where you've been and what you've learned?
Yeah, definitely. It's more natural for me. I approach music in a very open way, in that if I hear a song in my head, I'll explain to you my song process real quick, and then I think it will make sense how the genre is not really specific to me when I write. I don't think I'm going to write an R&B song. I think of, I have this rhythm I want to lay down. So when I write songs, rhythms come to me first, then a melody comes, and then I work out lyrics. And depending on how I want to produce it, the genre affiliation then comes through. But it's been something of a challenge for me because, you know, I was raised in a country that was such a melting pot of cultures and sounds. But at the same time, it was in the 90s, and the sounds were more effective.
Sounds like the rhythm session's in the back there now.
Yeah, my little man.
He's
on my lap. But so when I was growing up, I heard more British R&B than anything. I heard, you know, George Michael and Sting. And I loved the artists that came out of England. And I guess they were more prominent in the market. And so the sounds of the ethnic and world music, I studied and more became a part of that global sound later on in my 20s. Well, recently, I guess, when I was in different groups playing with this Brazilian folk and roots group that I recorded an album with. So a lot of that, it was just so exciting learning that. And then prior to that, I was working with flamenco music and learning a lot of flamenco rhythm. So that sunk into some of the patterns and grooves that I use. So to summarize, in terms of my sound, I don't think of genres first when I write. I think of the song. And once the song is finished, in the production and recording process is when I flavor it in a way that I want to make my message most clear. Mm-hmm. So it's about filtering it the right way so it gets to who I want to really affect. Mm-hmm. Because essentially you write music to express yourself, but if you're a recording artist who sells their music, you think of your fans and what you want to give them.
Right. I find it interesting. I know nothing about songwriting, and I was going to ask you that question about your process. I find it interesting that you, if I heard you correctly, come up with the rhythm before the melody, which I find, to a layperson, that sounds counterintuitive, but I guess it's not.
The best way to think about it, if you think of the foundation of everything and anything is a pulse, right? Is a wave, is, you know, even waves are in circular patterns. And, hey, he agrees. And everything is associated with a certain pattern, whether it's speech, language, or music, whether it's just heat waves, everything's in waves. And I translate it into, I don't mean to sound too scientific, but the rhythm is the most primordial of all things. So right. I think that I didn't really arrive to, like, I want to write this way. I think it's just predominantly that's how I write. I mean, there are exceptions, like melodies, or I'll hear somebody say something, and then a word will strike me, or I'll read something, and a word will come to me. But the word is also a pattern, a rhythm. Right. So right. I'm really fascinated with the patterns of speech and the rhythms that come from it. And then I kind of build everything around that. And generally, Generally, I've been a lot more lyrical than rhythmic in the beginning when I was a kid and learning to sing and, you know, copying everything. And melodies were, especially in the treble frequencies, were really where I heard things. And I had to teach myself how to hear bass and how to hear drum and how to listen to it. And once I learned to listen to it, I became so enamored with that that it's the first thing I go to when I hear something, the groove.
Interesting. You know, I had the opportunity this week actually to see Stevie Wonder at the Garden.
Oh my gosh, is that the Sound City of Life tour?
Yes. Is he doing that in Chicago?
Yep, he's coming through here.
Okay, try to go.
Yep.
Try to go. I mean, I didn't grow up being a huge Stevie Wonder fan. I mean, I liked him, but I mean, just seeing him is just amazing. His voice is perfect. His voice has not changed, and he has about a million people with them. In fact, the review in the Times said it was enough to do a recreation of World War II on stage. And it's just really, the rhythm was really amazing.
Yeah,
you know, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
It was wild. It was great. So if you do get a chance to go see that, it's pretty amazing.
Yes.
One of the things when we spoke last week that I was really thrilled to hear you say was that your influences go back to Louis Armstrong, even to Bix Beiderbecke, and even to earlier female vocalists way back. I don't know if you know, I think Bessie Smith and people like that, but you have deep roots, and you had said that you're a fan of Blossom Dearie, who of course is much more recent, but you have a lot of very, very, not obscure, but influence that you might not think of I might not think of them being influences of the kind of music that I hear when I play your stuff.
Exactly. Well, somebody said, I think it was a CD Baby newsletter that said something that I found amusing.
There's the CD Baby.
He's laughing.
Uh-huh.
They said that, you know, oftentimes people describe their music with the sound alike. They say people, so-and-so sounds like, and have trouble describing themselves, but they just put their influences as sound alikes. And that's one of the biggest mistakes artists make these days.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very vigilant of that. So I'm usually the one to ask a fan, oh, you know, what else do you listen to? What else do you like? And that kind of gives me an insight of what they find appealing in my sound, because there's so many things you could find in it that you relate to, you know, whether it's the lyrics or the rhythms or just the mixture of styles or the production or whatever it is that appeals to you. And truthfully, if it moves you is what I care about, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think that the reason that those artists are my influences beyond any style, minimalist or bebop or you know, the essential R&B or blues or Delta blues or Appalachian music, you name it. I think at the heart of it all, the artists that have really affected me and have inspired me to write my own music and original music has been their honest delivery of their own truth. You know,
right.
And how they speak their truth. And I think that all of them, like I'd add two more artists to that list because I just have so many influences. But I'd say Jimmy Scott has been another one that really like shook up the way I thought of my presentation. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
No.
Jimmy Scott was one of those artists that, you know, all the insiders that really love the nitty gritty of the, you know, obscure or artists that didn't really make it into the mainstream. And he's like the king of that. And you would, I will send you some of his music, maybe some links or files, because he's just somebody that has affected everybody, including Madonna. She cites him as one of his influences.
What did he play?
He was a singer, jazz singer. And
okay.
One of the artists actually he recorded with was Ray Charles. And they had to erase his vocals off the entire album because he was under a really bad record deal.
Really?
And yeah, and that was his huge break. And then the record exec came after it and made them delete his, you know, and then Ray Charles had to come in and overdub everything with organ leads. And
so,
yeah, and then recently, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I was given a CD of the original. They released it. I actually got to hear it, and I think that was one of the most moving albums I've ever heard. It was a mood album, basically, you know, ballads, but it was just brilliant. But when I found out about Jimmy Scott, I was about 21 years old, and I heard him, and it just like broke my heart. You don't listen to him when you're in the dark place, that's for sure.
Well, I'll feature him at the site. I'll check it out. Yeah, do send me stuff. I'm going to send you one Big Spider back. We're chatting here. We're doing the podcast, but we're chatting, but that's fine. I'm going to send you a Big, not something he played himself, something he wrote called Davenport Blues, which he's from Davenport, Iowa. But someone played it recently. I'll send it to you. It's amazing. Who's the other artist? You said Jimmy Scott.
Billie Holiday.
Oh, okay.
I think Billie Holiday is. I think if I could take one artist with me, if I went to a remote island, I would take Lady Sings the Blues. That she was a lifesaver for me when I first moved to the country. Because it was autumn, it was my first season in the U.S., and I had just learned to speak English. It was just one of those emergency moves. And my parents are both scientists, and my mom got an opportunity to work on this NASA grant in the suburbs of Chicago, and it was something that you don't pass up, you know, and trying to make a new life for your family. So it was like, it was crazy. I had learned French in a French school growing up, and it wasn't like a snobby thing. It was just the second language, but it was just a very natural, you know, the school taught it as a strong, they put it was not a Francophone school, but a lot of classes were taught in French once you were advanced. And so here I was with my, you know, a suitcase full of French and no English.
You didn't speak English?
I spoke very little, and I spoke broken British colonial English because I found a teacher that was a last-minute teacher, and she was wonderful with grammar. But basically, she gave me what I could get in 3 months, you know. And then I jumped into a teenaged mid-America, you know. It was insane for me. So I found refuge in music in a big way. I was in choir there, and I sang my heart out, and I enrolled myself in every choir possible, whatever high school, you know, thing can allow for. And so I didn't have to be in the limelight, but I could be around music and just absorbed everything. And that's about the time when I found Billie Holiday, and she was a lifesaver. To me, she's like the ultimate punk rocker, you know, a revolutionary and a rebel and a beautiful soul. And I really, really love what she does to music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like you have a better situation going on. I mean, she was just in her 40s when she died. I mean, it was just amazing. You know, she was, you know, it's a very sad story. I guess it is. Pretty often. Now, your English is absolutely impeccable. Did your musical training and your musical mind help you master the language more quickly?
I think so, absolutely. And also, I felt, I think everybody goes through this teenage angst of wanting to get out of high school. And I actually didn't realize what that was until, you know, because I didn't do any orientations. It wasn't like I did an exchange program, which was different. Some of my friends did exchange programs, and it was easy because you get oriented, and then you have your peers there. With me, I was the only person of an ethnic background, you know, in that school. It was a very predominantly Caucasian, blue-eyed, very, very good people, but... Right. Very unaware of what other cultures are like, so I had to jump, you know, jump levels and levels and not sleep. And I think it trained me for being a musician in terms of being an animal of the night, you know. And, well, I've always been a night owl, but I think listening to a lot of music and studying the patterns of speech and being attentive to that, I think, is what got me out of that. And also, I'm not competitive with other people, but I'm very competitive with myself. In that I want to push to the limit of what I can be, and I want to make the most out of my time and enjoy the challenge of, you know, the challenge of the impossible. But once you get to that point, you realize there's so much more beyond it. And I think I've always loved the language, and I think reading and listening had been what helped me advance, because I certainly couldn't copy the way people spoke around me, because it would just sound inauthentic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's the last thing I would want to be, a replica of somebody, you know?
Right. Very, very interesting stuff. My dad and my daughter are both musically inclined, and both my father's German, and he mm-hmm. knew several languages, and my daughter is very, very good with languages. So there is a connection there, definitely.
That's great.
Yeah. So what, you know, are you working on now?
I am working on, different things. I mean, are we speaking musically?
Yeah.
I'm working on my second solo album material, and I'm also working on the second album for this collaboration I mentioned, Forbidden Knowledge, which is with Pablo Gordy, my mm-hmm. collaborator, co-producer, life partner. It's been a crazy, wonderful, creative experience working with him, because he brings a great deal of funk and R&B and soul influences. And right. I've learned so much about the quintessential folk and roots as well through my association with him musically. And it's really inspired a new direction, but more like an enriched direction that I've already was on. So right now I'm working on new material that's very rich with the blues.
Right.
And I'm so happy about it. And I'm thinking about calling this album Aro, which is kind of the direction that my fans took it into, the Aros, they call themselves. And, you know, it's very motivational, I guess, because it's a phonetically sound-alike word for an arrow. And I'm a Sagittarius. So everything, you know, that kind of a personality of a forward motion and direction and inspiration, and it kind of built into this, I thought, for a sophomore solo album would be perfect. So I'm working on a lot of that, and I'm really enjoying it. And
That sounds like a great title for the album, because when you said arrow, I first thought of an arrow as in shooting an arrow, you know, in a direction. It sounds like it works out perfectly.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah. So, and that's the kind of thing that will make you remember my name as well, because it's such a strong but very forgettable, in that sense where it just feels like there are a lot of consonants that you can't remember.
Absolutely. Well, I did pretty well at the beginning.
Did, right? You did. You were trying, and you did well. Much
did.
Better than 90% of my introductions.
When your last name is Weinchenk, you're sensitive to trying to get other people's right.
Right, exactly.
Can people see you perform anywhere, Nina?
Yes. Right now I'm working on some tour dates. I have some offers actually in China and Hong Kong that are coming up, which is, it's interesting where people relate to and where your demographics are. It's something I've been learning in the last few years. And my motherland wants to call. So
that's
I may great. Be making a trip to Georgia, and this will be my first time back. So I actually swore to myself that I would, you know, not go back until I had something to bring. I'm just very, not stubborn, but just very spiritual about things like that. So I'm really hoping I can get an offer that works so I can bring a band with me. And I like, you know, just three people, me, myself, and two other people. And I like that stripped down type of a sound, but we really, really build it. So I'm looking to tour. And then in Chicago, I used to play, you know, multiple times a week, but the whole scene has been really transforming, and it's very limited in terms of the profit you can make. And aside from the profit, and by profit, I mean, you know, cover your expenses. And unfortunately, people don't really go out to hear music, especially local music, what they think is local. And I think that, you know, with having a young family, you can't afford to be out, you know, playing four sets until 4 a.m. when you have a toddler at home. So that has really changed the way I look at performing. And so, you know, I'm prioritizing. But I think 2015 will have a tour of the Midwest. And I would love to do a few dates on the East Coast and a few dates on the West Coast. So I want to, and I definitely want to do something in NOLA. Mm-hmm. So I have lofty goals, but they're achievable. And with the help of, you know, hopefully a few associates that appreciate what I'm up to and what I'm trying to do here, we'll get that done.
Right. Well, we wish you a lot of luck. And just to finish off, if you could tell us again where to learn more, so people don't have to go way back to the beginning.
Okay. No problem.
That would be great.
I am on Facebook, facebook.com/Nino Arobelidze, NINOARobelidze. My handle on Twitter is my name, Nino, at Nino Arobelidze. I am also on Instagram with the same name. And my website is artistecard.com/my name.
Great. Well, I'd like to thank you and to thank your assistant there who brought lots and lots of value to the conversation.
My assistant and my husband with a guitar in the background. They're in the other room, by the way. We're in a large space.
He sounds like a very happy baby.
He's a happy baby. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mia.
Have a wonderful day.
Take care.
It's not the sound of my voice that you hear in the net that you doubt. It's the love that you've got. It's the love that you're hiding. When you find a way to live through the nightline that separates the beat and the rhyme gets older. And there you understand the meaning of what you really asked for. A while back, you've come back to settle down and unpack your bags. Get down to it right into the heart of that beat.